Okay, Mr. Crawford, would you please lead us in the pledge?
My pleasure.
Okay, there are no announcements out of closed session. Turn it over to Amy Bernhardt, our student representative to the board.
I have one board report from Marysville High School. For the month of May 2017, Marysville High School's ASB has or will put on the following events. Link Crew is now over and is accepting applications for next year's leaders. The junior class has picked Once in a Blue Moon as their prom theme, and the prom was on May 7th. It was the biggest prom MHS has had in 10 years. Leadership just held elections for next year's leadership class, and the positions were announced. Picnic day is coming on May 12th. We eat lunch on the lawn and play lawn games and music to get the student body to participate together. The top-notch luncheon is coming near the end of May and is awarded to students from teachers. The blood drive is this Thursday, and students are signing up to participate. The senior send-off rally is also being planned and will happen the first week of June along with the senior trip. Also, Miss Brown came to me today. She's the choir teacher at MHS, and she wanted me to announce that the 2017 Spring Performance Week is Monday, May 22nd through Thursday, May 25th, and they have lots of different things, and I have a flyer if anybody would like to see it. Admissions is free, and donations are gladly accepted.
Thank you, Amy. Move on to our school report from Johnson Park Elementary.
Well, I'd like to take this time to thank the board for this opportunity to have Johnson Park share out our report and celebrate our wonderful success this year. We also have some teachers here that I'd like to introduce, if they can come on up. We have Jessica Lee, who is one of our kindergarten teachers, Susan Regina, one of our fourth grade teachers, and Wendy Stabna, our special day class teacher. So what I hope you guys all brought some popcorn, because I am bringing Johnson Park to you.
Teachers and staff here at Johnson Park.
student support specialist here at Johnson Park Elementary, better known as Mr. Hobby. This year I've been working closely with the PBIS team to try and create a more positive social environment in our cafeteria. We have been working on displaying more respectful, responsible, and safe procedures from the kindergarten to the sixth grade elementary level. We have been working on a variety of methods to encourage positive behavior, one of which is a lunchtime drawing, which includes Superjet tickets. These Superjet tickets give students a variety of prizes from Monday through Friday, anywhere including from getting to sit next to your friend and getting free popcorn on Fridays. This in turn has led to a much more positive, enriching environment for the students to come in and be able to relax and enjoy themselves and live socially. Apart from our lunchtime procedure services, we have created a check-in, check-out services in which I have been working closely with the staff members to help our most moldable students achieve their academic goals and social needs.
And this is my special day class, and I'm really proud to be here at Johnson Park. One of the things I really love about Johnson Park is our PBIS program. For my students, I found that our Fix-It tickets work really wonderful. It's kind of a warning to let my kids know, hey, that's not the way we do things, and it just reminds them that, hey, I need to make a super choice next time. So that's one of the things I love about Johnson Park.
Technology is pretty much intertwined into every aspect of our lives. So I use technology on a daily, in which I try to really capture and reach the different learning styles of my students. I primarily use Google Classroom, in which I post announcements, reminders, assignments, and so forth, and I even can check for understanding with formative assessments. So I absolutely love that we have that one-to-one ratio with Chromebooks. The training that we just received through Wonders, I've been able to really integrate the technology, the online component of Wonders into the classroom as well. So I am super excited about the possibilities, and thank you so much.
As well as physical wellness. We get together and we have lessons on how to deal with our emotions and our friends, and also we train for a 5K. So this next Saturday, May 13th, we are participating in our 5K at River Bend Elementary School. It is open to the public, so we'd love to see some of you there. And here we have a couple of participants in the program.
Hi, my name is Claudia, and I love to go around because I have a friend.
Hi, my name is Julie, and I like to go around.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Are there any questions or comments?
Oh, I have a question about the Chromebooks. Those are classroom sets on
cards, or the kids take them home?
They're classroom sets in cards that are utilized throughout the day.
Well, it's great to have them. Brian does work hard.
So, Mrs. Vang, I would just like to say thank you and commend you for all the things that you've done for the students and the staff at Johnson Park. Moving PBIS forward, I think that's so important for student behavior and reinforcement of positive behavior. And again, just thank you for all that you've done for Johnson Park.
I would also like to go on to that. I've been to your school several times. Your report is very, very complete with what you've done. And also, living in that area, right by the school, I hear a lot of good comments from the parents, and there are people that look at our schools, and that means a lot to me, what the parents say. So also, thank you.
Everyone.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, we'll move on to comments from board members. And I would like to, at this time, introduce our newest board member, Mr. Randy Davis. Thank you, congratulations, and good luck. Okay, so we'll start with comments from board members. Mr. Davis, you don't have to. Ms. Scott?
I would like to say that I had a chance to attend on Friday night the pajama games at MCAA, and aside the fact that I froze, it was absolutely wonderful. Their performance, it just made me feel so good that it doesn't matter where they perform as long as they have an opportunity to perform, and they did just as well on the outside as they would have done on the inside. And I say, if you missed it, you missed a treat. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Crawford.
Seldomly do I get invited, probably because I'm a flatlander, as they call me. Some foothill parents and their kids invited me up to Pioneer Days at a celebration at Smartsville. Am I saying that right? Yeah, where they're actually rebuilding an old church, an old Catholic church, and the kids are in their flea markets and stuff. And I just wanted to commend all those kids that busted their tail and worked so hard to make it a very successful thing. Thank you.
Mr. Fleury.
I got four things tonight. I always try, when I'm around the district, look for the good things. The first thing, 2 weeks ago, the bus drivers went to their annual Northern California Rodeo, and this was the 10th year that I judged it. Looking at the drivers that really take their craft seriously, that want safe transportation, and they really buy into that system. And again, as you know, we've won the state championship 4 times. One of our drivers won place number 5 for Northern California in the very top class, and one of our drivers, that was Ron Phillips, and Tana Davis placed 1st and is going to represent us against San Diego for, this is our 5th year, I think, right, Scott? Yes. Also, one of the parents made me aware that the technology department, that she said, you know, I have students that go to another school district, and she said, we are so far behind ahead of the other school district. We're ahead of the other school district. What these kids know in technology, it's going to pay off because we're teaching them for the future. Also, one of our principals, I realized 2 weeks ago from the kids were telling me, before the test is very important that we take in our school. He went around with a desk and sat and interviewed every student in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade, talked to them, showed them their scores, showed what they were weak in year before, this year, and it made a difference. In all the school, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, only one student was absent during the testing, which was amazing, and that was Mr. Eshman at Covalod. And the last thing is the mystery dinner that was put on by our administrators and a lot of there were the waitresses and that. And it really, the district went above and beyond, and you did a good job with that, Gay, and pulling that together. And we're just lucky that we have that. So we're lucky to have a district that works as a team like this to make good things happen.
Mr. Rasmussen.
I had the opportunity to visit Cedar Lane School for their open house, and they made a choice to hire a couple of fellows, Royal King and Rogelio Viramontes, to teach dance. So I think they were there for maybe 2 weeks teaching dance to all the kids, and they started out the open house night having every grade level go out and perform, so that all the parents got to watch their kids. And it was amazing to see those kindergartners all the way up to the fifth and sixth graders being able to build upon what they learned before. And it was quite a cardio workout, too. I was kind of pooped just watching. But I know we've also contracted with those folks to do some of our STAR programs, and it was just phenomenal, the excitement that those kids were showing, being able to do their dance and their physical activities. At another school site, then kind of observing a PE performance where it's, okay, Romero, you got to run that lap, get going. And, you know, the excitement level was just a little bit different from those kids dancing versus Romero having to run his lap. I would also like to had the privilege to go watch the play Pajama Game, and I really just want to commend all those parents and all those folks that work at MCAA, staff, administration, to be able to make that play go on. There must have been 40 kids involved in that, and they were just having such a great time. So they do great things at MCAA.
Thank you. Mr. Allison. Okay.
Did you do it? MPE.
Okay. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Okay. You got nothing? Thank you, Inga. Operating Engineers Local Union 3. California School Employees Association 326-648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees Supervisory Unit. Public comments. I have two public comment cards. We'll start with Michelle Stewart.
I'm going to bring Martha Duran up with me. And I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. I'll make it as quickly as I can. I had the opportunity to speak to a friend of mine, Bruce Dewey, just recently. And Bruce informed me that tonight the Yuba City Unified School District is doing a special presentation to his son. And I said, well, what is this all about, Bruce? And he says, well, since my son John Dewey received the Eagle rank for Boy Scouts of America, he was given this certificate from the school district. And I just wanted to bring that to the board to make them aware that Yuba City was doing that, and ask them to possibly, if we could get together, we would be willing to pay for this certificate and get the Eagle names together for the boys that actually reached that rank. It is highly recognized by Congress, and the president sends a letter to these boys, and I just think it would be great if their school board would give them some sort of appreciation as well. That's entirely up to you as to how you would do it, whether it would be at graduation, whether it would be at a board meeting like this, which is what Yuba City is doing tonight at 7:30, or any other way that you might think it may be useful. So without taking any more of your time up, I just wanted to let you know about it and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Would you like a copy of this? Anyone? Would you like to give
Okay, the second public comment card I have is Natanya Minoza. And if you would like to speak, because you have this for the TK policy on the new board policy, that's going to come up later if you want to reserve it till when that agenda item comes up. Okay, thank you. Okay, superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you very much. This evening is the last evening for our fellow new cabinet members for the spring. Carrie Iles and Brian Williams and Nu Vang, thank you so much for participating in cabinet and coming to the board meetings. Appreciate it. Appreciate your insights. And hopefully you've learned a bit coming to cabinet and the board meetings as well. I know you come to board meetings, but cabinet is a little different. So thank you for that. Just two other quick announcements. Tomorrow is our district advisory committee out at Lyndhurst High School. We will be viewing the career technical education courses, and the chef there has promised to make us some culinary delights, and he never disappoints. So that'll be 5:30 tomorrow, Lyndhurst High School, and we're just meeting in the quad, and then we'll tour their new facilities or remodeled facilities. The second announcement is just to remind the board that the Browns Valley Garden dedication is happening this Friday, the 12th, at 8:30. So if you're available to go up and see their beautiful, beautiful garden, I was just there a week ago, the parents do this amazing gardening project with the students, and it is an amazing garden. I just have to tell you, I struggled to grow one tomato plant, so it's really fun to see the student and the parents' efforts. And that's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Todd. Move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 4/25/17. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Motion to move.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. And all those in favor? Six
aye.
Yes. Abstentions? Mr. Davis abstains. Excuse me. Consent agenda. I have one addendum to the consent agenda before we start on it. Under certificated promotion, number six for Siobhan Matthews. Okay. Other than that, change to the consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled? Does anybody want anything pulled from the consent? If not, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford, seconded by Mr. Allison. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, seven yes. Okay, move on to new business, educational service one. This is new board policy 6170.1, transitional kindergarten. We're going to hold a public hearing, and that public hearing is open now, so anybody that wishes to speak. And I have one comment I want to make while we do this. We have one case brought forward prior to this board policy. You know, no matter which way this board policy goes tonight, I have no idea which way it'll go. But according to Ed Code 48,000C, these cases go to the governing board to be decided. And without a board policy in place, I don't feel that we can not give this one opportunity, this one person an opportunity to bring that before the board without the policy in place. So I don't know what the board's feeling is on that, but are there any other comments or questions?
Well, I definitely think that parents should always have a chance to use their comments. You know, give information.
Okay, anybody else want to speak from the floor? If now is the time if you want to get up.
Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time to let me speak. As Jeff Boom stated previously, I do have an outstanding request. It's me. I'm the parent who has requested early entrance to TK for my daughter, who's 4 years old and will be 22 days outside of the typical cutoff, which is December 2nd. So I made that request on March 6th, and it was denied at the district office. But what I didn't know is that per the policy by the state guidelines, it should have gone to the board. So I've been working with the board to get approval, and we'll be going before you all and have this go for a vote in June. But because of my request, it has spawned the development of this policy by the district. They want to put a policy in place. And basically, my understanding of the policy is that they want you all, the board, to relinquish your decision-making power in whether or not parents get to have their child in TK early or not, even though the Ed Code by the state of California allows it. So my position on this is that you maintain your power, because me personally was treated unfairly, and so I kind of want to share my experience with you quickly, but I also have some handouts that I would like to give so that you can review it and how I was treated, how the request was treated, before you hear my personal request in June. So on March 6th, I inquired with Educational Services what the process would be to put in a request for early entrance into TK for my daughter. As I said, her birthday is December 22nd. The state guidelines typically will say the cutoff is December 2nd, but there is an allowance if the board is agreeable and the parent is agreeable. I was told that absolutely no exceptions will be made, that Marysville Joint Unified School District strictly adheres to the state law, and so I had to go back and forth with this person in Ed Services that the state law actually allows for exceptions to be made, and I just merely wanted to know what the process was to begin the request. After coming to terms that this employee was unaware of the process, she Googled it and became aware of the policy, and then basically said what the policy states by California Department of Education is that the district may allow these exceptions, but we don't do that here. Quote, I was told 6 times Marysville Joint Unified School District doesn't do those types of things. So I said, well, who else can I talk to outside of you? And I was referred to the office of the superintendent. So on March 7th, I appealed to the superintendent's office by email and was also told no, we will not be entertaining such requests or exceptions at this time. I appealed back, wrote back to the superintendent's office and asked for a rationale or reconsideration. I asked to meet with someone from the superintendent's office and or at least speak with someone over the phone and was denied. Someone wrote back to me and just said the rationale that I got was, if we say yes to you, we will have to say yes to all. So the answer is no. So I think that the implication there is that if this policy that's being proposed by the district is saying allow the superintendent's office or a designee to make the decision for parents whether or not their kids get early entrance into TK, then clearly, based on what I was told, the answer is always going to be no for every parent. So that's pretty much in a gist. I really hope that you will reconsider, and when you're presented with the policy in closed session, I see that there's a request to have this discussed in closed session, that you will keep this in mind. Allow me to provide you with the handouts that I have. It's emails back and forth of the correspondence that I had with the district office staff. And basically, on behalf of all of the parents, I would hope that you like to keep the decision-making authority and power with you guys. I think that that will help to ensure a more impartial and fair policy. Is that okay if I provide the handouts?
Yeah, that's fine.
Are there any questions or any?
So, Mr. Boom, currently, thank you very much. So, currently, with regards to this, are we governed under Ed Code because we do not have a board policy?
Yes, that would, Mr. Carrion, would that be a correct statement?
You could defer to a past practice. Or you could, you can, according to the structure of establishing protocol and policy, is rescind the past practice to future decisions based on your policy. But you can refer or defer to past practice because of the permissiveness of the education code.
You know, one thing that I've always really liked about this district was the fact that, like when I was a parent having kids here, I always felt that as a parent I could communicate with the school district. And I feel that that's part of our policies. And this new policy, that one paragraph in the policy about, and I love gay, you know, but having one person, you know, in charge of this decision kind of keeps the parents, you know, the community that we're trying to be part of, from being able to, you know, work with us. And I think that's kind of a slap in the face of our community. And so, I know that, you know, there's thousands and thousands of four-year-olds that are ready to line up to get into these TK programs. And we won't be getting ADA for them until they meet that fifth year. But we're talking here about a child, in this case anyways, that, you know, is intelligent and is only a few days beyond the youngest child that's going to be in that program or could be in that program. And so I think we need to, you know, still leave it open for, you know, some, you know, a board of to be able to discuss this, you know, discuss a child and have a parent, you know, come to us.
Yes, Dee.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'd like to add a couple more things. I was nervous, so I didn't elaborate too much. I did work with a board member about my request once I was denied by the superintendent's office. And the open registration for TK was April 18th in the school that my neighborhood school is located at. So my concern was that if my request was not going to go forward until June, what happens if the seats happen to fill up at the elementary school? So a board member that I was working with did advise me to turn in an application to the elementary school. I did that on day two. So applications were released to parents on April 18th. I turned in my application in full with physicals and immunizations and everything the very next day, April 19th. I was told by the staff at its Browns Valley Elementary School that I was the first parent to turn in an application. I did explain the situation with Ed Code 4800C and that I have a pending board approval going on. And I was told since I was the first applicant and there's typically space in the school that I was requesting entry into, this is a school that combines classrooms just to get enough students for one teacher because we're in a rural area. I was told that they would register my child, and they did. And then this, I did give that information back to the board member. The board member happened to convey and relay that information back to the superintendent's office. And then 2 weeks later on May 1st, I got a phone call from the elementary school staff, frantic, telling me that they were called by the district staff and told to disenroll my daughter. So I do feel a level of harassment on the district office end, and so that's why I really feel like this needs to be kept at a board member level. Parents shouldn't feel that they cannot collaborate with the board or there's going to be some type of repercussion or backlash. I did not want the elementary school staff to know that there was some discord going on between me and the district office, because I don't know, frankly, who knows who, who's friends with who. And so I never mentioned it. All I said was that I have a pending board approval going on and in place when I registered my child. But that, of course, went out the window when they were contacted by the district office. And the other thing I want to mention, that the reason why I asked for this request in the first place was that my daughter was evaluated by a Yuba County Office of Education speech therapist, and that speech therapist recommended TK. I requested a speech evaluation from a private speech therapist because my daughter had some articulation issues, which in a nutshell just means issues with enunciation. And so she had been under the care of a private speech therapist for over 3 months. They referred me to the district for speech therapy, because they figured that at some point the insurance would not approve private speech therapy. So I deferred to the district for speech therapy services. Because my daughter's age, I was referred to Yuba County Office of Education. They evaluated her on February 28th, and they felt like she didn't meet the criteria for speech therapy because you have to have two areas of deficiency. My daughter only had one. But she scored above average in areas of cognition and comprehension. She only had an enunciation issue that actually we later learned is due to a medical condition. So it was the speech therapist who referred me and even told me about Ed Code 48000. When I relayed that back to the district office that I was referred by a district speech therapist, they actually called the speech therapist and reprimanded the speech therapist for giving me the information. So that being said, all of that vindictiveness that I feel occurred, I really feel that you would want to hold on to the decision-making power so that future parents don't suffer the way that I did.
Okay, thank you. So while this public hearing's open, I need a consensus from the board one way or the other. Prior to voting on this board policy, as a board, are we going to hear at least this one case, depending on which way the board policy goes?
Maybe before that, Mr. Boom, I actually have one comment and then a question, I think. With regards to the fact of having the superintendent to be able to make decisions, we do that with many of our board policies. It's not the board's responsibility to hear every statement or every concern that comes from the public. So it is a responsibility of our superintendent to be able to do that. My question is, it sounds as though we've had a formal request or a process to be able to hear this case. Seems as though we have that. So it would seem to me that we would need to move forward at least hearing this case before we make a decision on this board policy, would be my thought. Well, I guess what I'm thinking then is, when does that take place? When do we hear the case? How do we move forward with that? Do we put the board policy on hold to another date?
We would have to agendize, which would be heard in open session. We would vote on it. As far as the board policy, we could vote on it tonight. We can vote on it afterwards, after that case, if we want to table it for now. But I agree with you, Mr. Rasmussen. I don't want to get into making day-to-day decisions, operational decisions in the district. That's not the job of the board. We are here to set policy and set direction. This could turn into a huge plethora of problems for the district, but the way this has transpired, being this request was brought forward prior to a policy in place, I feel we have the obligation to at least hear the one case. So whichever way the board, it has to be a consensus of the board, whichever way the board would like to do it is the way we go. So would the board like to hear the case? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we will bring that back at another date. We will agendize it to bring back at another date. Now, do we want to table board policy 517, what is it, 6170, or would we like to go ahead and vote on it? Mr. Ellison?
My biggest concern is this one paragraph about, you know, get the superintendent, whoever the superintendent is. And I'd like to see, you know, a parent, if they didn't, like the what the superintendent had said, that they would have some recourse to be able to come to the board. And I don't see that in here. This is like, you know, yes or no, you're cut off, no explanation. But I'd like to have a little bit more than that in that paragraph. Now, the state, when they made, you know, 48,000C, now that was made after they'd already, I mean, this came later. So there must have been something that was going on with parents and kids that made them put that statute in the Ed Code.
Okay, any other? Oh, Mr. Carrion.
Yes, thank you. With all due respect, in reference to your comment, you're reaching further into the day-to-day operations because you're basically saying that every decision can be appealed, whether there's permission within the board policy or otherwise. You're setting up a structure for an appeal to every decision that doesn't go an employee's way, a parent's way, or any third-party entity. So you need to be careful there. The other matter, backtracking to the original issue, is the exhaustion of administrative remedies. There is a process outlined by board policy that if there's a complaint, then that process needs to be vetted out and completed thoroughly before it comes to a hearing before the board. So what you're doing now is inviting a fast-forward process to come directly to the board without exhausting all the administrative remedies that the board policies have established. So if you want to go down that road, I would strongly recommend that you invite the appellant to seek a grievance or a complaint against employees before you fast-track to a hearing. Otherwise, that board policy is null and void, and you're going to void out any complaint policies that currently exist that are crucial to any issues that people don't like, including employees.
Thank you, Mr. Carrion. Ms. Mendoza.
There is a case that occurred in 1989 in Sonoma County that many lawyers refer back to for past precedent, and it has been incorporated in case law. And basically it has to do with a parent who tried to get their child into kindergarten because TK did not exist back then, and was denied because the policy of that district was to not allow parents to register their children into kindergarten outside of the time frame that the school has already started. So it went back and forth. They appealed to the board, didn't get the answer that they wanted to hear, and it went up to the Supreme Court. And what the Supreme Court ruling found was that districts cannot have a blanket policy of exclusion. Districts must, if there is a request from the parent about a student requesting educational services, districts must evaluate each child for their needs on a case-by-case and individual basis. That did not occur here. I offered to submit paperwork from both speech therapists, the private speech therapist, and the district speech therapist. An IEP meeting occurred. The Marysville Joint Unified School District staff was invited, as is practice and customary. They did not attend, and I also spoke with the speech therapy provider from Yuba County Office of Education, and no inquiries were made to them about my daughter's readiness for TK. So due process was not done in the case of my daughter, and so that's why I really feel if it wasn't done for this one student, and this law has been in place since 2013, and as I understand, I'm the first parent who's ever asked for it. So if due process was not done for her, what's to say due process will occur and the needs of a child and parent will be assessed on a case-by-case basis for anybody else?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rasmussen.
So, Mr. Boehm, I wonder if we should get legal advice before we move forward on this, if we want to see about looking to accommodate this one case in front of the board, just to make sure that we're not, again, opening that can of worms. Maybe we should table the board policy until we get legal advice.
Okay, yeah, we'll pull this from the agenda. We'll seek legal advice and then get back to everybody. Mr. Allison.
One last thing. I strongly feel that critical thinking skills are the most important thing that we can give our children. And there's just too much route learning. You learn this, stuff that they'll never need. And having parents like this that obviously are very strong critical thinkers, these are great examples to have in our school, to have students like this in our school, to have parents like this. I know I always enjoyed some of the worst parents I ever had in my classes come and talk to me. That's some of the biggest learning experiences I ever had. And we pretty much always, ended up being able to understand and respect each other. And there's too much lack of kids today being able to, or grown-ups too, being able to use their critical thinking skills. They listen to something, they accept it as truth, and then they, tie it as a concrete block around their neck. And, it's just something we have to work on. But that's that.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Allison. Okay, we will move on to educational services, number two. This is another addendum to the agenda, new business. This is 7 through 12, English language arts development adoption.
As you know, last year, actually the year before last, we started the process for adoption of our new English language arts curriculum. The elementary folks came to a decision quickly. The secondary folks wanted to take a little bit longer and really explore the available materials, so they extended it through this year, and so this coming before you tonight is their selection for their new textbook that they've been waiting for a very, very, very long time, and so we hope that you will approve this.
Okay, this is also a public hearing. Anybody's welcome to speak. Any comments from the board?
Just a question. Is this, Dr. Todd, you said a textbook, so this is actually going to be textbook. It's not going to be like consumables that the math adoption is?
Lenny Tate is here. She's been a part of this adoption process.
Okay.
She can address all of those.
It is a textbook, so you have a student textbook. You also have a teacher's resource kit, which will include consumable materials, printables. There's some online access. At this time, it also includes two novels per student textbook.
Okay. Thank you, Lenny.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments? I need a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 7 yes. Now we need a motion if we're going to approve the instructional materials.
Move to approve the instructional materials.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, 7 yes. Child Development Program number 1, Resolution 2006-17-20. Authorizing the Child Development Program to request school closure credit. Ms. Woods here.
What I'm really attempting to do today is to seek emergency closure credit from the Department of Education for the days that we were not in attendance during the evacuation, and I just need a resolution from the Board of Trustees to give me authority to do that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, motion by Mr. Allison. Is there a second?
I'll second. Yeah.
Second by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes.
Thank you,
Kathy. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank
you. Personnel Services, number 1, tentative agreement with the Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, thank you. This particular opportunity is for the board to not only recognize but certainly approve the tentative agreement that was entered into with the Marysville Unified Teachers Association after a lot of hard work and collaborative spirit that went into ensuring that opportunities for both teachers and management remained in place. Out of this comes out a big element for district-wide focused teacher collaboration, and to the extent that the board, if authorized, would allow for staff to mobilize and put in place a 5% total compensation increase on the salary schedule, which is broken down as delineated here, but more to the point, it should be noted that this 5.0% total compensation tentative agreement is pending ratification by the teachers union, and upon notice there, then we'll be able to retroactively pay all of its members back to July 1 of 2016.
Any questions, comments?
Actually, I would just like to thank all of the bargaining committee members to get this moved forward, and so we can get it settled and move on to another year.
Thank you. Any other comments? Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Allison. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, we move on to personnel services number 2. This is 2016-17 initial bargaining proposal from OE3 to the Marysville Joint Unified School District. We're going to hold a public hearing for that. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you. And in the spirit of closing out negotiations, or optimistically speaking, to close out negotiations with all the other bargaining groups, we have before us the initial bargaining proposal from the Operating Engineers Local Union number 3 to the district. And to that end, the public hearing as required by the EERA, and then ultimately to close that public hearing as well.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carrion. Any questions, comments, anybody? If there's no questions or comments, I need a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Scott. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, personnel services number 3, 2016-17 initial bargaining proposal from the Marysville Joint Unified School District to OE3.
Yes, the flip side of that is our initial bargaining proposal as required by the EERA to Sunshine and ensure that the public has an opportunity to know what direction the district is moving. And so to that end, hold the public hearing and then ultimately move that we set in motion to close the public hearing to disclose the district's position and initial bargaining proposal to Operating Engineers Local Union number 3.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carrion. Is there any questions, comments? This is a public hearing. If there's not, I need a motion to close the hearing.
Motion to close.
Motion by Mr. Crawford to close. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. That's the last item on the agenda, so the meeting's adjourned.